This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Yesterday, U of I Extension hosted a Montgomery County Youth Safety Day at the 4-H Park in Butler. Fourth grade classes from all of the schools in the county were invited to participate, and the students visited 15 safety stations, and each station taught them about a different topic. The day was organized by Montgomery County Ag Literacy Coordinator Charlotte Schuricht, who said the response from schools was great and the students really enjoyed themselves.
Today we have 15 different stations set up, and they're from organizations, mostly from Montgomery County, talking about safety. So we have the fire department, the ambulance, Nokomis Police Department, railroad safety, farm safety, grain bin safety. So we have a lot of different organizations represented.
And several schools, I think you said you invited all of them throughout the county. And what grade are we talking to today?
This is fourth grade. So we've invited every fourth grade classroom from across the county, public schools and private schools.
And did you have a pretty good response?
Very good response. I think we just had one class with a conflict. So we have over 340 kids here today.
Excellent. And I know I had a minute to talk with the FSA group that was talking about grain bin safety, but is there one of these stations that seems to be a favorite with the kids?
Well, there's a number of them that are fun. The speakers are doing a great job of doing interactive hands-on presentations with the kids so that they're participating. I would say probably the Nokomis Police Department seems to be a popular one. The kids like to see the inside of the police car and the lights and the equipment.
And this program is something that has been going on for a number of years, I've learned, with Extension.
Just at least 15 plus years, I would say. Yes.
And you, as Ag Literacy Coordinator, you work with all of the schools and do different programs. So what's going on during the month of May? I know it's the last month of school, but what's programming like for you?
Well, we've been having a lot of fun end-of-the-year programs. This time of year, kids like to plant, which, of course, goes along great with farming season. So I've been doing lessons with third through fifth graders on soybeans and planting soybeans. First and second graders have been learning about baseball and its connection to agriculture. So even the equipment used in a baseball game, the stadium, the food at the concession stand, how it's related to agriculture. And the younger kids, pre-K and kindergarten, I also see, and we've been learning about tractors.
Ag Literacy Coordinator Charlotte Schuricht, and as I mentioned in my interview with Charlotte, I also had a chance to talk with Carolyn Slidham from the Montgomery County FSA office about grain bin safety. Carolyn and Eric Pastrovich were in charge of the grain bin safety station, and I talked with Carolyn about the demonstrations they were showing the students. Carolyn, you have kind of a neat stop for the kids today, focusing on grain safety, grain bin safety. So I guess it'd be great to start out with telling us some of the things that you are trying to show kids while they stop at your booth.
Yeah, definitely, Katie. We've got a couple different displays here going on. Again, trying to teach the kids about grain safety, grain bin safety. Our first demonstration that we go through, it's a little miniature gravity flow wagon, and we discuss with the kids what it is, what it's used for, and we have a little Lego man that we set on top, and then we go through and we actually unload the wagon to show that somebody can be submerged. We tell the kids it can only take 8 seconds for somebody to be submerged under grain. They act like they really like that and get kind of pulls them in, gets them interested. And then we go through another example using some buckets, some balloons, and some grain on if there was an air pocket and some grain that was crusted that had created a bridge. You know, that's another way that a person can unintentionally fall through the grain. We go through some of the safety equipment. My husband actually works for a grain elevator, so I borrowed his harness today, and we put that on and show him that, and as well as a dust mask, just some of the things that their parents or their grandparents should be using if they have to go inside a grain bin.
Of the kids that are stopping by, they're fourth graders from throughout the county. Are they growing up on farms? Do they know what you're talking about? What's their response been?
Yeah, so we ask them first off, you know, where they're from, what town they're from, and kind of discuss, if they're from a farm. I would say maybe at least each group, there's four or five kids right off the bat that say, yeah, they live on a farm, and yeah, they've got bins outside their house. And then we try and make sure that we relate it to all the kids. So we'll go from there and say, well, do you have grandparents that were from a farm, or your mom and dad? You go to friends' houses, and eventually we get everybody to raise their hand.
Did they have a pretty good understanding of what you were trying to show them? I know the one example that I thought was neat with the straw and the balloon attached. What was their response when you had them try to blow up the balloon?
Yeah, so in that example, we're trying to simulate what it would be like if you were engulfed in grain trying to breathe. We try and get in that demonstration emphasize how important it is really for them to go get help, because someone, even if they're not completely submerged in grain, it's going to be really hard for them to breathe and they're going to suffocate pretty quickly. So they really like that. We pull about 4 or 5 kids up and basically have a balloon and a straw that's stuck down in corn, and a lot of them say, oh man, this is hard, I wouldn't be able to do that. So we tie that back to, you know, what you need to do: call 911, get somebody to help, because that person is could potentially slowly suffocate.
Once again, Carolyn Slidham, who is the acting county executive director for the Montgomery County FSA office. And we'll be back with more after these messages. May is National Beef Month, and the Beef Checkoff's Beef It's What's for Dinner brand will launch the second annual 30-day protein challenge this month. Americans consume nearly 2/3 of their daily protein intake at dinner, which the Checkoff says doesn't leave enough room for protein in other meals or snacks. The 30-day protein challenge provides a step-by-step plan to get an optimal amount of protein throughout the day. Beef board member Chuck Kiker, co-chair of the Beef Checkoff's Consumer Trust Committee, said researchers have known for some time that there are health benefits to consuming protein in balanced amounts in each meal. Kiker from Beaumont, Texas, said significant research shows some people can lose and maintain a healthy weight and support a healthy metabolism when they consume high-quality protein within calorie goals. To sign up for the challenge, you can check out beefitswhatsfordinner.com. In other news, Senate Ag Committee Chair Pat Roberts, a Kansas Republican, and committee-ranking Democrat Debbie Stabenow of Michigan agree there's more important things to work on than the 2018 Farm Bill. Last week, the two senators told ag journalists that speculation regarding the new Farm Bill should wait. Roberts and Stabenow say they look forward to the Senate considering their bipartisan child nutrition reauthorization bill. Each noted the Congressional Budget Office has been very slow in calculating the various costs of the provisions. Roberts says the child nutrition bill and bills to establish federal rather than state labeling of genetically modified foods, as well as the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, must come before the new farm bill. Roberts and Stabenow both say they are opposed to opening the current farm bill and were glad to beat back efforts to cut the crop insurance budget. A published report indicates glyphosate is likely not carcinogenic. The U.S. EPA pulled a report offline regarding glyphosate that the agency said was inadvertently published on Monday. Pro Farmers First Thing Today said the EPA noted it has not finished its review of the key ingredient in Monsanto's herbicides and that the document was preliminary. According to Reuters, the report that was errantly published found glyphosate was not likely to be carcinogenic to humans. Reuters also pointed out that each page of the report, dated October 1st of 2015, contained the word final. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.